Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 129. It's the week of May 14th, 2011, and with this being the week of May 14th, that means that this is ultra marathon week for me. Something I've been preparing for many, many months now. The Keys ultra marathon, there's a 100 mile race and a 50 mile, and then the 100 mile team relay, and I'll be doing the 50 miler solo. And that is on May 14th, starting in Marathon, Florida, and going to Key West. Marathon being one of the Keys. I'll have more about that in a few minutes. I'm going to talk a little bit about pre-race preparation, and this podcast is going to be kind of self-serving, because what I'm going to do is kind of go through my list of stuff and just kind of talk out loud to myself, I guess, some of the things that I'm planning on bringing and some of the reasons behind it, and maybe I'll be able to eliminate some things or might remember a few things. But one thing I want to talk about before I go any further is something I really should have brought up in the last episode when I talked about the Ashland Railroad Run 10K and accompanying events. We had an outstanding race committee, of which Tamara and I kind of co-chaired. And, these things can't happen without volunteers. It's a volunteer-driven event, and we have a company that did the chip timing this year, but everything else is totally a volunteer-driven. And like I said in the last show, I couldn't be happier with the turnout. But I just wanted to mention the race committee members. I think a couple of them listened to the podcast. Bubba, Tammy, Paul F., and Paul B., Debbie, Faith, Sharon, Curtis, Vicky, Tracy, Tom, and Susan. And I think that's everybody. Simply just an outstanding group. We had, I think, four actual committee meetings and then some kind of sub-committee meetings just to make sure we had everything covered, because it's so, because what happens is that the Hanover Arts and Activity Center is who sponsors the race overall. And there are many people on the board there, me being one of them, and several people who are on the board are not runners. So when they volunteer for the race, sometimes some of their duties are kind of specific to knowing what goes on during a running race. And so you want to have the volunteers, and you need them, but at the same time, you got to train them. So we actually had a marshals training for some people who are new marshals, because the course is a partial double loop course, and it's a little confusing if it's your first time out. But all the volunteers just did an outstanding job. I don't want to point anybody out specifically to take away from anybody else, but if you ever get involved with organizing a race, you realize, you do realize how important it is to rely on other people and to trust them, and that was probably one of the biggest things I learned being involved in this event. So volunteers make it happen, and my hat's off to the 2011 Railroad Run Race Committee volunteers. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to mention one thing I did with reference to a camelback, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the pre-race prep for the 50-miler. I made a mistake by going and buying a new piece of equipment last weekend. I'm not really sure why I did that, and I bought a camelback. It was called a Mini Mule, and my buddy Rodney has been training with one all along. He really likes his. I've always kind of shied away from it because I never really liked something on my back. Now, and the reason I bought the camelback is because I tested out an Ultimate Direction Diablo, which was sent to me by Richard some time back. The deal was that he would send me some Ultimate Direction products and I would just try them out and comment on them. Well, I tried out the Diablo, and frankly, it's just too big for my use. The reason I was concerned about getting something to carry water on my back is because I don't like carrying a whole lot of water on a waist system. And the first after the first 4 miles of the race I'm going to do on May 14th are on the road, and then the next seven are on what's called a 7 mile bridge, and you're not allowed to have any aid, anything tossed to you. Cars can't, you know, your crew can't slow down and give you anything. You have to be totally self-sufficient. I mean, obviously you can walk if you can't run the whole way, but you can't have anything dropped off. So you have to have all your water and your food or whatever you're going to need ahead of time. So I, and the advice that Mandy gave me from Ultras for Mortals is carry more than you need, and that's also given out in the race director's email. Carry more than you think you're going to need, you know, because of the heat. I've already checked the weather forecast. It's in the upper 80s on May 14th down in Florida, so it's going to be plenty hot. And you know, that brings me actually to another thing. I'll go off a little tangent here. I commented on the St. Louis Marathon in the last show, and I did look into that, and yes, they did stop that race because of the heat. And actually, what I'm getting ready to do Saturday, not only is it going to be hotter than it was in St. Louis, it's going to be longer. So I don't know who's the fool. Probably me. But getting back to this, it's actually called the 7 Mile Bridge, so you have to be totally sufficient. You might be able to hear Blue behind me. He's panting. You panting? No, you're not panting because I put the microphone in front of your mouth. So I decided that I will use a Camelback just for that portion of the race. Well, I went and bought one. I went and bought one at Dick's Sporting Goods. And it was kind of a cool flame design on the pack. It was kind of a maroon color. Thought it was really cool. And pretty much the reason I bought that one is because the other one they had was pink. So I bought the maroon one, get home, tested it out the next day, went on a, Rodney and some other guys did 5 miles, I ended up doing 10, and would you know it, that damn thing leaked all over my back. It held water, but it just constantly dripped down my back, and my shorts were just totally soaked in the back. Not only did the bottom leak, but the top part leaked, where there was actually a rubber seal around the lid. I got so frustrated, you know, because it's typical in my life where I'll purchase something, I get home and I break it, or I purchase something and it doesn't work, or it malfunctions, or I give a perfect example. My wife and I have a TV that's probably less than two years old. The built-in DVD player doesn't read every DVD. I don't know why, so we've got the other one hooked up. And be honest with you, it's just too much of a pain in the ass to ship it back or to take it back and not have the TV when I can just hook up. We actually have a real small DVD player that we kept. I just got that hooked up, so if the TV rejects it, I'll put it in that one. It's really not that big of a deal. But so this camel, I didn't do anything to the Camelback, so I got so frustrated. But what I thought about, because here I was thinking, well, gosh, I can't take this thing down to Florida because it's just going to leak all over the place. It makes no sense. However, the Diablo came with two bladders, and I didn't even think, but it's twice the size of the Mini Mule. However, you don't have to fill up the bladder all the way. It's got a longer straw. And the Ultimate Direction Diablo is a very good piece of equipment. It's just, I think it's more for if you're going to be out there for like, you know, 4 hours without any aid whatsoever. I think that would be what the Diablo would be good for. The Keys 50 is going to have, we'll have crew access as often as we want whenever we can make stops, except for that 7 mile bridge. So what I did when I got home, and I thought about this while I was out for the run, well, gosh, I'll just pull the bladder out of the Diablo and put it in the Mini Mule, and then I'll contact Camelback and send back the defective one and worry about replacing that later, and this will be a short-term solution. So I did that, and I ran with it on Sunday morning, did four on Sunday morning, and it worked perfect. Matter of fact, I actually liked the extra long hose coming out of it for whatever reason, because it kind of hung down a little bit farther where I could kind of tuck it under my arm, as opposed to the Mini Mule Camelback kind of stuck out a little bit. So And I actually had even considered taking the Diablo down there. However, when I tested it, I just didn't care for it because I don't think I'm going to have to carry as much. And it holds up to 96 ounces, which is, that's like over a six-pack of... I don't even know what... It's 96 ounces. Like, see, I can't do the math. Whatever that divided by 12 is, 75, 60... I can't even do public math. So that holds quite a bit. Obviously, I don't need that much. So I tested it out. It worked fine. And so that's going to be my plan to get over the 7-mile bridge is to fill that bad boy up. So I'll have water, and then I'll carry a water bottle with my Ultra Mix in it. So I got the email back from Camelback today after kind of telling them how disappointed I was that here I'd brought home this cool looking thing and it didn't work and it just leaked all over the place and it was basically useless. And they said I could take it back to the dealer, but I'm not interested in going back to Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, they're just, I don't, it's an okay store. They just got stuff, but you know, when I'm not going to go back there. I'm just going to send it to the company, have them send me one that's already been, it's obviously working. I don't want to go back to Dick's at the risk of getting another, they didn't have another one. In other words, they had the pink one and I didn't want that. So that's the story with the Camelback. They sent me the email and with all the instructions on what to do to send it back, and so I'm going to do that. But on the short term, I'll take care of using the other bladder from the Diablo. And who knows? Maybe I'll even stay with that. I don't know. I've got two bladders for the Diablo, so one can stay in there. But I don't really ever see myself doing like a 4-mile or 4-hour or 5-hour endurance run or something without any aid whatsoever. Because this thing's got room for food, an extra bottle on the back. I mean, this is a regular backpack. Well, it's a small backpack. And I just didn't... It was just too big for me. Hard to explain why. Just one of those things. So that's the Camelback problem, which looks like is me fixed. Okay. Pre-race preparation for an ultramarathon. First thing, I'm a couple of days away here. We're getting ready to leave to travel down. And, I'm starting to think, 50 miles, what was I thinking? I don't know why I decided to do another one. The last one I did was so hard. I just about killed my feet. But I've said this before in the show. I guess the reason I'm doing it again is because I got beat physically last year. I didn't get beat mentally. I never wanted to quit. My body was going to make me quit, but I like that challenge. I want to see if I can get through it this time without my feet disintegrating, and I'm going to use duct tape for that, which I'll get to soon. Will I make it? This is going to be totally different than any other races I've done over 50K mark. This is going to be my second road ultra, the first one being the Sterling Gym 40 miler, which was 2 years ago. I did that one just in my celebration of turning 40. It's my 17th marathon overall, and I was telling my wife last night that if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm getting close to the point where half of my marathons have been actually ultras. So I've kind of had a different marathon experience than others, or some others. I really do like the smaller events, and I'm really looking forward to getting down there and seeing all the logistics of this thing running on Route 1 all the way down to Key West. It starts at milepost 51 and ends at milepost 1. That's the general course. I don't want to have a DNF. I'll do whatever I got to do to finish, but this time I'll be a little smarter, and I'm not going to, if I'm hurting my feet, I'm gonna take my shoes and socks off, and I'm gonna do something about it. I'm gonna attend to them and not ignore them like I did last time. And what I'm really hoping is that when I wake up on May 14th, it's one of those thumbs up days, where you just feel up. If you're, I call it biorhythms, but I guess you could say everybody's maybe a little manic depressive. And I just hope it's a mania day. I hope that when I get up that morning, it's one of those days where I just feel like I can go all day long. It's just one of those days and not where I'm sluggish and it's a chore, because I want to enjoy it, but you're going to enjoy it in a painful way. That's why people do marathons and ultramarathons. For some reason, they like the pain of the latter stages of the race. But I just hope that the day that when I wake up, I'm ready to go, and it's not a tossing and turn type of night. So we'll have to see what happens. Okay, I'm gonna go over my list a little bit, and this is not to bore any of the listeners. It's just to maybe educate some people who haven't gone beyond the half marathon mark or even the 10K, and have an interest in what kind of things, you know, ultra marathoners consider when they're preparing for an event. I'm taking two pairs of shoes. One I'm actually just going to wear on the airplane, so I don't have to pack them, and then I'll bring the others. And I've they're both Asics 2150s, I think, and they're relatively new. They're both broken in. I think the one pair, the lowest, has got like 60 miles on it. The other has, I think, 150 miles. So they're both broken in, virtually identical, just different colors, so I could tell them apart. And one of them, I've applied some Velcro pieces on the heels to hold down gaiters if I need to put on any gaiters, and I'll explain that here shortly. I'm taking three pairs of socks. What I did about 2 months ago is I bought several new pairs of socks, running socks, to break them in so they're not, you know, brand new on race day. Because some of my old socks I've had for several years, and there was really no lining between my shoe and my foot anymore. It was just a piece of fabric. So I wanted to get new socks, and of course those are broken in and experienced. Foot powder to keep the feet dry when reapplying, when changing socks. Vaseline, I think that speaks for itself. Body Glide, of course. Nip guards. If you have never heard of nip guards are great for guys because they protect your nipples from bleeding and embarrassing yourself. The worst thing that you could have happen to you, because this happened to me during the Monument Avenue 10K when I finally broke 50 minutes in the 10K, this was several years ago, is that I had a yellow shirt on, and after the race, one of the because the girl that did it was one of my coaches for the half marathon. I think it was the year after I did my first half marathon. Anyway, that's really no consequence. But it was a real nice-looking lady that was one of the coaches. And what you don't want to have is have a nice-looking lady come up to you and say, "Dave, you're bleeding." And then you look down and, you know, you got nice red streaks on the front of your shirt because you didn't take care of your nipples. So nip guards take care of that problem. They stick to your nipple, gives a little space for the nipple there. And it's man's best friend, literally, when you're getting the shower after a long race and you don't have all that friction on your nipples, which stings really bad in the shower. Not to mention you don't embarrass yourself, because I'll be wearing a white shirt on Saturday. Okay, and you get those at nipguards.com, and you go to that website, it speaks for itself. All right, I'm going to take two shirts, but I'm probably going to take more than that. What I did is I bought, I think it was coolrunningusa.com, something like that. I bought Coolmax shirts, 100% polyester, a long sleeve and a short sleeve. And I think along the way, Mandy Miller had provided the advice about wearing a long sleeve shirt just to block the sun's rays on your arms for burn. And she had suggested some brands of desert running shirts. And I just couldn't afford those prices. I mean, I had several other things I had to buy, like this useless camelback and a reflective vest and stuff like that. But Mandy, I do appreciate that advice, but I just couldn't go with the prices on those shirts. And hopefully I'll be okay with my Cool Max. I think I will. I'll bring a couple, several pairs of shorts. If they get too wet, I can probably get in the car and change out. I did buy some gaiters, and if you don't know what gaiters are, if you don't do any trail running, what they do is they go over your ankle and connect to your shoes, and they keep out debris from getting down in your shoes, so you don't have to stop. Now, this is a road ultra, but previous listeners to the show will know about this term that I use. It's called the perfect toss, and for some reason, my foot stride and the way I run and the way that my shoe collects little pebbles and tosses them up in the air behind me as I run, and then they literally perfectly land in my heels, which is what I call the perfect toss. That happens to me on the road. So I'm taking gaiters down to Florida, and if I have trouble with any rocks, then I am going to put the gaiters on, and I don't care how ridiculous they look, because they do look quite ridiculous. If they're covered with mud, you know, they look cool because you're doing a trail race. But if you're on the road, and they do look kind of silly. But anyway, that's what the ones I got are Dirty Girl Gaiters brand. I mean, it's pretty much the simplest thing you can get, and they're short. They don't go too really high up on your leg, and they attach in the front with a clip to your laces, and then in the back with a little Velcro adhesive strip. So I put that little piece of Velcro on one of my pairs of shoes, and if I do need to put the gaiters on, then I'll switch into that pair of Asics. Reflective vest with blinking light on the front, and with my headlamp, I'll have the blinking light in the back. That's for, I think, half hour after sundown or before sundown is when that's required. Headlamp, Garmin. I'd kind of toyed with the idea of just leaving the Garmin at home and just using my regular wristwatch because of the time. But I think because I'm going to try to do a running interval, I do like the alarm, the beep, and I think I am going to just wear the Garmin just like it's a regular, you know, regular race and not fret over silly details like that. I'm not really sure why I was so worried about it. I guess because what happened last year when I did the North Face 50, my Garmin malfunctioned on race morning, so it wasn't even a choice I had to make. I just wore my regular, I got one of those, just like a G-Shock wristwatch, so I haven't even decided that yet. iPod's a definite. In fact, this I need to load that up tonight with several episodes of some news shows and songs and other podcasts, just so on race day when I get bored, I'll have a variety of things to browse through to break the monotony of running all day long. Ice bandana. I got a cool bandana. Literally, it's called a cool bandana from Zombie Runner, and it's the kind that you can soak in cold water and then tie around your neck, and it stays cool. I've tested that out, and it looks like it kind of stays cool on your neck for about a good hour to hour and a half. I guess depending on the heat, so since I'll have crew access as often as I need for the most part, that's something I can repeatedly put in the cooler and cool off with, so that's going to work out real good. All right, duct tape. I'm taking duct tape because I'm going to be taping my feet, at least the bottoms of them, at the beginning of the race, and I'll probably reapply that as the race goes on. The purpose of that is, first of all, so my feet don't wear off like they did last year, and the second reason is, or the main reason, is really so the friction is on the outside of the tape and not against my skin. And it might sound, well, gosh, it doesn't stick to your skin. It's like, well, if the friction is not on your skin, the skin's not going to break open. And I wore, the longest run I've done with the duct tape was the 31 miler that I did with Rodney. And the tape stayed on the whole time and it was fine. So I'll do that again. But what I am going to do is put the duct tape in my check bag so I don't have to answer any questions why I've got duct tape on the plane. They probably won't let me bring it on the plane. I'll have to put it in my suitcase. And I sure hope that that's not a problem putting it in the suitcase, but I don't want to go buy a whole roll. You know, guys, I got three rolls of it in my garage to last me 20 years. So, you know, I want to take the tape that I have. I'm going to take down two handheld water bottles, which I'll probably switch over to using after the 7 mile bridge, depending on how much I like the Camelback at that point. S-caps, you know, definitely. Heavy sweating, you pretty much take one every 30 minutes. These have a lot of potassium, and they worked well for me last year. Aspirin, waist pack, cameras, digital recorder. Probably not going to do the podcast down there, but I like taking lots of pictures, and I'll do that because then I'll probably do up a souvenir video for me and Rodney. Chapstick, sunscreen, maps, cell phone, hats. Let me talk about hats. I'm taking two hats. One has desert flaps to block my ears and my back of my neck from the sun. And I got, the one I got is one that I got when I subscribed to the magazine Marathon and Beyond. I think I had to pay a little extra for it, but I really liked it because it has the flaps and they don't hang down too low where it's too heavy. They're very light, and I've tested that hat out also, and it works fine. Sunglasses. Would you know, I broke my running sunglasses last week during the railroad run. I took them off and put them in my pocket, and I sat down somewhere, and one of the lens popped out. But it's not really a big deal because they're just, you know, fairly cheap sunglasses. So what I did is I went to the store, I went to Rite Aid drugstore and bought a $15 pair that I thought looked cool. And then I ran with those and I realized they did not have rubber tips that go behind the ears. So they were kind of slipping off as I sweat. So I was in, we have a store called Roses, if you can still believe there's still those around. So I went to Roses and got an even better pair for $4. So probably won't block any of the sun's rays into my eyes, but at the very least I've got something to reflect it. I'm taking a 13-hour pace band. The 13-hour pace band is what the cutoff was for the North Face last year. And I think what I might also do, if I can do this tomorrow at work, is make a 16-hour pace band. And I won't be able to laminate it just because that's the cutoff. But just so I know where I stand if I'm really having some issues. I don't know if I can get away with just the 13-hour, because I really do want to know where I'm going to be, because I'm not going to have a pacer. Last year I had Dr. Smitty, and he knew exactly, he was already doing all the calculations. He knew exactly where I needed to be to get in under 13 hours, which I made it by, I think, 12 minutes. So I think I better take the time. I'm glad I read this over, because I almost forgot about the pace band. Small hand towel or washcloth. I'm actually taking two little hand towels, kind of like running hand towels. And I probably will tuck one in, you know, my waistband at some point, just so I have a towel to content, you know, constantly wipe my brow, because I'm sweating so much. And that's about it. So that's a lot of stuff, and I think I'm pretty good to go. I checked my list against Mandy's list on ultraformortals.com, which is, she has lots of information about ultra running, and she's got kind of a list of stuff you should go by when you're doing these long races. And the funny thing about ultra marathons is the possibility of just changing out clothes. You know, during a regular marathon or even a, you know, shorter races, there's no thought given to changing shoes or changing out anything. But in these longer events, you know, you might get out there and after 20 miles, you know, the tag in the back of your shirt that didn't bother you on a training run all of a sudden is, you know, bugging the hell out of you. Or you decide 10 miles into the run that, you know what, these sleeves are too long. I got a shorter, you know, something you find out on a training run that you like might be different on race day because of the conditions. So I'm going to have a couple different options there, but I'm pretty much going to go with my standard running shorts that I've always trained in because they seem to work and they don't ride up my crotch. I can't stand shorts that do that. Okay, we did get a couple. I think I got one email, maybe two emails for the email bag section of the show. And one of these is actually an older email that I briefly mentioned sometime back. This is an email actually from January from Mandy Miller at ultraformortals.com. And what she had done is she sent me an email letting me know that the fifth edition of the book Fixing Your Feet was out. Now I have the second edition, and I recommend if you have any foot problems at all, or even if you dabble in the longer distances other than longer than a marathon, and there's even any hint that you might have some foot issues. I'm talking about not you know, bone issues, but I'm talking about, you know, blistering, ultra blistering, ultra and extreme blistering, you know, toenails, problems, stuff like that. This book has got just about everything you need to know about fixing your feet. And I have the second edition, but Mandy told me the fifth edition had come out. And I'm trying to figure out what the author's name is. I got it. It's Vohoff, something like that. It's a good book. It doesn't read like a novel, obviously, but that's where I learned how to use the duct tape method, and I haven't had to tape any of my toes yet. Might have to after this race, but at least I know how to do it and all, and that book's really good. So I recommend you check that out if you have any questions about that. I got mine, I think, used through Amazon for just a few dollars. It wasn't bad at all. Heard from Dirt Dog wishing me the best at the Keys race, and Mike want to make sure that I have a couple cold ones in celebration. And Mike, you can rest assured that if I finish, I will. And you can rest assured that if I don't finish, I will. I will also. Obviously, I want to finish, but I'm not going to do it and sacrifice my health. Of course, I heard from Camelback. And on a sad note, and I hate to close out the podcast like this, but it's something that did happen this week. If you've been a longtime listener to the show, then you'll know, you'll notice the same music that I use, and it's that the music is written and produced by a person named Derek Miller, and from PodMachine.com. Pinmachine.com. And I'll tell you how I found out about Derek. I've never met him, but I just know him through reading his blog at Pinmachine.com. That's PenMachine.com. When I first started out the podcast, you know, obviously I wanted to have some music in it and dabble with some different things. And there's a website called Pod PodSafe Music or PodShowMusic.com or something like that, and you had to log in. And I was really looking for was just some kind of background music, you know, non-lyrics, just anyway, I didn't really find what I wanted there back then, 3 years ago. I guess I probably would now, but I got, somehow I found this guy's website, and he had a thing on there, and I didn't want to use any copyrighted music in the podcast, so I didn't ever want to run into any issues with that, and also I knew if I ever wanted to switch over to inserting an advertisement in the podcast, the short ones, mind you, of course, I would never allow my listeners to listen to lengthy ads, you know, just to bring some revenue in to pay for a pair of shoes each year or something like that. I knew I didn't want to use any commercial music that I would end up in any copyright issues with. So I found Derek's site, and he had several different songs on there that he actually did through GarageBand. And GarageBand is the same software I have on my Mac, and that's what he used to produce the music. So the music that you hear in the podcast, with the exception of the introductory song and then the actual second to last song, which is a little bluegrass song before the national anthem, is Derek Miller's music from PenMachine.com. Well, Derek passed away this week, and he was around the same age as me. He lived in Vancouver, Canada, and he had a terminal cancer. He discovered that in 2010, and his blog at PenMachine.com, he essentially predicted his death, and he had a living wake. And his blog was just very intriguing, and I just seemed to read a lot about him. He seemed to be a very interesting person. And part of me thought about contacting him through the website one time and telling him, you know, that I liked his music and that I was using it in my podcast. I never did that. All he ever requested that if somebody did download the music and use it was to do anything you wanted with it, but just give him credit. So that's why I've always credited him in the show notes of every episode where I've used his music. And I was hoping he would make more, but he never did. So Derek Miller, dead at the age of 41 this week. So in tribute to Derek, I'm going to be put, instead of the national anthem for the United States, I'm going to have the national anthem for Canada at the end of the show. All right, well, the next show will be the Keys Ultramarathon Race Report. That'll probably be about a good 10 days out. So anyway, I'll see you on the other side of that. This is Ashton Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashton, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And forgot to mention, if you want to email me, it's ashtondave@gmail.com. Y'all have a good week.